This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, everybody. Carm Capriotto. Welcome. Remarkable Results Radio, another Town Hall Academy. Glad to have you here hanging out for the last 10 years. God, I can't believe that, Bill.
10 years.
10 years. I've had to know you for...
Seemed like yesterday.
I know. It was.
It's flown.
It's like Groundhog Day, baby. Anyway, so good to have you all. Thank you for dedication of my listener for all these years and your commitment to listen to learn just one thing, but yet you got to implement an idea that you take away. Please, a reminder about the Breaks for Breast campaign. We've done a great episode of recent. $2 million has been earned in the last 15 years. This cancer research is real. It's legit. It's at Cleveland Clinic. We're involved as an industry in it. I need you to get behind it. Breaksforbreast.com. Appreciate that. And, you know, we work so hard creating and bringing you this episodic education. And thank you so much to our great sponsors. Hey, did you know that Napa Trax has on-site training plus 6 days a week support? It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business and how you run it. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Let us prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Find Napa Trax on the web at napatracs.com. Hey, how well does your team know their stuff? Test their automotive skills with the Today's Class Basic, Advanced, or Service Advisor quizzes. It's a quick, effective way to spot gaps and grow stronger teams. Take the quizzes now at todaysclass.com/TC quiz. Shop owners, stop juggling multiple marketing tools. Kukui's integrated platform, they deliver 4 times better website conversions, automated follow-up, and real-time ROI tracking. Get industry-leading customer support with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You're probably tired of chasing new customers who never return. We understand. Pit Crew Loyalty ends the one-and-done cycle, turning first visits into lasting, reliable revenue. On the web at PitCrewLoyalty.com. We're recording part one here with my friend Bill Haas from Auto Ignite Management. Hello, Bill.
Hello, how are you?
Good to see you, Bill. Matt Wagg is here, Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive, Bennington, Nebraska. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Carm. Happy to be here. Thank you.
Are you coaching too?
Yes, sir.
With who? Who's the guy you're working for?
He might be sitting next to me here on a different screen. Mr. Haas.
I got to know you through Bill a long time ago and says, this guy is really interesting. Got to go back and listen to some of Matt's episodes. I don't want to take our listener through, but worked for the dealership, wanted to start your own business. This is all I remember, Matt. Presented a business plan. You got rejected. You had to go back. You went to school. It is an incredible story of how you got where you are. And then when I found out that you went from being coached from Bill to coaching clients, I said, this man, you're really... probably have never yet seen the stride you're going to reach in life because there's nothing you can't do, it seems to me.
You know what? I take an immense amount of pride in being in this industry. And I look back and I've had a lot of blessings throughout my career that sometimes I've taken advantage of or not really given the right appreciation to. And I feel so much pride and so much care to give back to these people in our great industry. And I feel I've been given a gift to share with others and the ability to help others and guide others. It's just, I have a natural drive to help. That's part of why I went into business, was to be able to share the skills and also to create a great work environment for people to come work at. And I feel that I'm at a point now where I can help other shop owners. And that was something that Bill and I talked about, you know, a year or two ago. Probably 2 years now, huh, Bill?
Yeah.
I want to talk about this a little bit later in the episode because I think there's an interesting dichotomy here of going from, you know, a struggling shop owner to being coached to then becoming, you were the student and now you're the teacher. I think it's a great story to talk about. What's on my mind is the shops that are thriving today. Everyone knows I get on my soapbox and I'm an advocate for coaching because when I learned what coaching was about 10 years ago and saw some of the greatest coaches that we have in our industry, and I heard about the success stories, I became a beacon, if you will, for coaching. And when friends of mine in the industry finally decided to get up and out of their own way and get a coach, some of them were willing to come and say, you were right. The coaching people were right. why didn't I listen earlier? Business is thriving to a degree. I can't imagine where I would be for the last 5 years if I had not done it earlier, et cetera, et cetera. And the shops that are thriving, let's make an assumption that coaching was important, but there's also so many other things that are going on in our industry, guys. Continuing education, great business practices, exceptional customer service. Let's cover some of those that you guys are seeing, you're feeling, that you're talking about with your clients, because as an advocate for professionalism in our industry, I love interviewing guys like you to come in and tell these stories, because maybe we can knock someone off top dead center.
You know, the thing about what are the shops doing differently that are being successful, right? I would say it starts with, number one, they listen. Number two, they pay attention. They're not living in a vacuum. They're not doing what they've always done the way they've always done it. They've decided that to have the opportunity, you've got to pay attention to what's going on. You got to listen. I think, and Carm, I have to give you a lot of credit for this. I think the podcasts are a big part of that. The opportunity for shops to be able to take time out of their week to listen to a podcast and hear other people and what their challenges are and things that they've done and changed, implemented in their stores that are helping them overcome that problem, right? And it's like, man, maybe it's only 30 minutes, maybe it's only 40 minutes in that podcast, but there's some real value there, okay? It's the same with coaching. You know, as a coach, I don't get to go and be in the day-to-day of their business. I get about 1 hour of their time a week in most of the coaching that we do, right? So there's some time I spend in preparation for that meeting. And then there's that 1 hour that I get to spend with the client. And then there's a little bit of time afterward in what I call, you know, cleanup, right? I don't get to go spend the day in the shop or a week in the shop, but they're paying attention. They're listening and they're paying attention and they're seeing that there are opportunities for them to do some things differently. To me, that's the big part.
Hey, Matt, let's go back to when you originally were coaching. One of the things I loved about what Bill just said, he's listening. And I, you know what I wrote down, Bill? I wrote down, listen for real. Just let that sink in for a minute. Don't listen to answer. Listen to hear, but listen for real. What are you really hearing? When you, in your first 4 or 5 months, Mag, and you, Bill was kind of guiding you, teaching you, showing you, maybe telling you, did you do something with it? Or did you say, oh, well, it'll be next week. And, you know, Bill will cut me some slack. Bill will cut me some slack. Bill will keep cutting me some slack because I didn't get a chance to get to stuff. Or did your commitment to coaching, was it so high that you just rocket ship?
That's a really good question. And I love that I have the opportunity to answer this one particularly. I think I've said this before, but a good friend of mine, Sherry Stock, she was like a mentor to me, great person. And one of the pieces of advice she gave to me before I opened the shop, I went and saw her, we went and talked. And she said, as soon as you can afford a coach, she goes, hire one. Well, I don't know if there's ever a point once I got into business that I knew I could afford it, but I'll tell you what, it paid for itself almost immediately. Now, I've spent a period of my career in education, so I'm a believer that there's always more we can learn. There's always things we can improve on. We're never perfect and we're never done learning. And I think you've got to go into any sort of situation knowing that I can get better, I can improve. But also, as business owners and being small business owners, part of us go out on our own because we want that freedom. We want that independence. We want to do things our own way. We can do it better than who we worked for. But sometimes you get to a point where it's, you don't know what to do. You don't have that person to go ask. You don't have that person to tell you how to do it differently to get the results you're looking for. And that can be our worst enemy at times, but it can also be our best friend if we use it properly. So when I started working with Bill, Bill was very upfront about, I'm going to challenge you to improve. I'm going to focus on the numbers of the business. I'm a metrics person. And that's how we're going to, one of the things we're going to use to measure the performance. And I said, great, because I don't necessarily know what I'm doing here. I picked a lot of my numbers that were running this shop on just out of pure air There's no science behind it. There's no data to back it and prove it that it works. And I'm hoping I'm making enough money at the end of the month to pay the bills. When you work with a coach, the coach is going to have proven methods and proven systems and proven processes that they're going to present you. I went into coaching hoping that I was going to get that individualized attention that I needed, that I felt our business needed. And Bill obviously provided that for me. And that's why I believe very much in what he does and why I went to work with him now as a coach. But it gets scary. And when a coach comes on board and you've been doing things your own way for so long, they're going to challenge you to things you're uncomfortable with. And I think that's where it comes in. And it's like, you know what? I'm paying for this service to improve my business with somebody that I need to place my trust in, because he has reasons and he has a lot of people he works with that he's already proven these tactics out with over many, many years. He's owned his own businesses. I need to try this. It was very uncomfortable, but I did what he said and it paid off. And I sure I was stubborn at times, you know. There's things that I was uncomfortable with and Bill had to get tough with me at times. And I think that that's normal and that's good. I needed to be challenged on my viewpoints and my standpoints. And Bill needed to say, hey, you need to do this. And you know what? Our business wouldn't be nearly where it is without the guidance of a coach. That's why I'm just such a believer in it.
I heard a couple of very important things there. Number one, uncomfortable. Bill, I'm sure that a coach's perspective is not to make a client feel uncomfortable, but there's a certain point to your honest admission, Matt, that I wasn't quite sure I knew what to do and how to do it and that I really even wanted to do it. But, you know, Bill was relentless and he was going to do that to me. And since you admitted you weren't an expert, there's a lot of people today that are running hobbyist-type businesses that feel they're an expert. And they're getting paycheck to paycheck, if you will, in their own business. And they're going out to social media to get the answers that they want because everyone's an expert. 2-3 words to describe a bad experience or a bad product or a bad supplier. It's like crazy. No substantiation. It's just blurting. But thank you for the analysis. If you wouldn't mind, I want to pull this back a little bit into, since you guys, two successful business people here, in your own rights. And I'm starting to think about what is helping businesses thrive today. One of the words of specialization and differentiation keeps coming to me. That would be, you know, ADAS or Euro and some other places where people can say, hey, listen, we're really good, but we also do this really well. Is that a place for our future to be concerned about?
Oh, I think it's huge. And, you know, you immediately went to a couple areas of specialization, right? ADAS, EVs. How about this? And this is something that shops really struggle with. Why is the oil service that they do at their shop not special? So here's a conversation I've been having with a lot of shops. We're pushing really, really hard to improve the effective labor rate in stores. We've got to stop doing things that we don't get paid for, and we got to stop getting paid correctly for the things we do. All right. That is effective labor rate. So the scapegoat is always the oil change. They're like, well, Bill, I can't apply my door rate to my oil change. I have to use a maintenance rate. I have to use some lower rate. And when you spend a little bit of time with that, what you find out is they're doing that because they want to compete in the oil change market. So they want to compete in the oil change market on price, but they're not competing at all. Because when you think about the oil change market, what you have to get them to understand is, what does your technician do when they do an oil service in your shop? And they come up with a whole list. Well, we do this and we do this, and it includes our DVI. And I'm like, but that's not the oil change market. The oil change market is a customer drives over a pit. Somebody's down in a pit that drops the oil in the oil filter. Somebody's up on top that puts the new oil in and maybe checks a couple fluids and closes the hood and you drive out. To be fair, let's really compare apples to apples. So when I take your oil change, and if you're at 2/10 or 3/10, and that really doesn't matter. But what matters is when you apply your door rate to the amount of time that you're assigning to that task, it changes the price of an oil change by a little bit. But once you explain to the customer that this is the price for a professional to do a complete service to maintain this vehicle that you've invested in, that's specialization. Why are we missing that?
You take a maintenance program like that and you kick it up about 5 notches. I mean, there's other things that we can do to make it feel special.
And one of the things that's interesting in the shops where we've done that, where we have applied the door rate to the oil change time, and we've started getting paid for the DVI, customers are paying it. And the few customers that have left because they didn't like the price anymore, we haven't missed. Make everything that we do special. I love your idea of there's some specialization, but we're missing some opportunities with things that we do. Make them special.
Do I have a moment to add in to Bill?
No, not at all. No, Matt, I'm sorry. You're just a good-looking guy standing. No, yes, you do, of course.
Okay, so to add on, I'd like to respond to that question in two parts here. So to add on to what Bill was saying, I'm going to get on the oil change, oil service train real quick here. I've challenged a couple clients that I've worked with, and I challenge about anybody to call around and see what these oil change competitors are actually charging, because you're going to be quite surprised that most of them are probably just as much or way more than you're charging for the oil change, and they're not getting the comprehensive service completed that we're providing in our industry. You know, if we're inspecting the vehicle, if we're checking all the fluids, if we're checking the tires, we're giving them a report on the safety and the condition of their vehicle, yet we're cheaper than one of the other lube competitors down the street that's not doing a quarter of that. We need to look in the mirror and realize, yeah. In regards to specialization, I think Bill's right there. We've got to differentiate ourselves as professionals. But, you know, the landscape is changing vastly with vehicles. And I think that's one thing that even me as a shop owner, we're looking into. And what does that look like in 5 to 10 years from now for us to be sustainable in business? You know, we're not seeing as many large, intimate repairs that we used to see, big engine repairs or big engine replacements. So this is where I think, too, working with a coach has so much value, because we need to understand what these trends in the industry really are. What are other shops experiencing? What are consumer spending habits looking like? Because that is stuff that is invaluable to me as a shop owner in regards to how I'm going to plan for the next 4 to 5 years. What am I going to invest in training? Who do I need to bring on my team? What skill sets do I need? What does that look like for my customer service staff to be educated enough to advise our guests on what their vehicles need and how all these complex systems work and operate? It's something that we talk about quite often. And I think we as shop owners live too much in the here and now rather than where's our business going to go? What's going to happen to the longevity of this? What's the future of my employees? What's the future look like for the people that depend on us that bring our cars in?
Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. NapaTrax was built from the ground up to make your business more profitable and efficient. We provide an extensive set of tools to increase and track profitability in real time. NapaTrax offers the industry's best post-sale support, hands down, and we train your people on site. Yep, on site. And we offer remote refresher training 10 times a week, and customer support is open 6 days a week. Give us a call, visit the website, or join our Facebook community today to learn more. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. NapaTrax is always customized and tailored for you, whether you're a one-man shop or a large multi-bay or multi-location company. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at NapaTrax, that's NapaTrax.com. Transform your team with today's class, where automotive training is easy, quick, and fun. Just 5 minutes a day on our app can eliminate hours of looking up forgotten information later. It's perfect for technicians, advisors, and managers alike. Keep critical knowledge fresh and top of mind, ensuring your team operates at peak efficiency. Today's class is impactful, accessible from anywhere, and a bit of fun too, and we're not talking about after-hours pizza either. For training that gets results, turn to todaysclass.com. Shop owners, we know you are overwhelmed with a flood of missed calls, empty bays, and disconnected marketing tools. Kukui has spent over a decade building one integrated platform for auto repair shops. One login, one dashboard, and mobile-first websites that convert four times industry average. Smart, innovative CRM with automated follow-up, 24/7 online booking, and real-time ROI tracking. With 900 plus years of combined team experience, we fuel the growth of 2,200 plus shops and have influenced $3 billion in revenue. Stop working harder. Start working smarter. Get industry-leading customer support and book a demo with Kukui. That's KUKUI.com. You know, most shop owners feel trapped spending on ads while half their first-time customers never come back. It's frustrating. It's exhausting. And it's not your fault. The industry average is 54% one and dones. We understand how discouraging that can be. Well, Pit Crew Loyalty changes the story. Our clients cut that rate by up to 38%, raising lifetime value by more than 50%. Loyalty members visit nearly three times more often, creating predictable revenue without extra ad spend. Pit Crew Loyalty, where customers stay and shops thrive. On the web at pitcrewloyalty.com. I got a comment on the quick oil changes, Matt and Bill. Look, if you think about rent, heat, light, payroll, they can't do a $29.99 oil change anymore just because of the pure rise in costs that we've all been having to deal with. So, but sometimes what we do as a business person, I don't care if I'm a modeling shop or an art store, we hang too much on legacy. In our mind, we're struggling, but we don't want to make the mental shift that our competitors are struggling just as much as we, and they've probably raised prices. I love your point. Please go shop your competition.
And what you just described, Carm, is emotion. When we allow the emotion to drive our decisions instead of when we ignore the data and allow the emotion to enter into the process, we've got a problem.
But I keep thinking, let's stay in the circle of specialization. And I love the fact that we do oil changes like no other people. We comprehensive maintenance service, whatever it is that you want to call it. But also, we have had some of the hottest weather. Well, I've joined the complaining group because here in Buffalo, we've had 90-degree days like we're going to have another one Sunday. And we probably have had 10 of them, Bill. So I'm empathy with you, right? And when I think about the knowledge that we have and the feel we have as consumers, when I tell people I'm a thermal management specialist, I'm sorry, guys, that used to be the words air conditioning specialist, but thermal management today because we're going to heat pumps and EVs and all that stuff. So why not say I'm the check engine light specialist? The point of it is that we all are suffered with heat. We all see check engine lights. We have EVs. We have hybrids have been around for 20 some years, right? ADAS calibration, big arguments of late. I'm not going to do the alignment if we can't get this thing brought back to, you know, OE calibration specs. Customer doesn't want to do the $300 alignment. They only want the $99 one from the guy down the road who says you don't need a calibration. And it's like, oh my God, we have to almost somehow ignore that, be proud of what we want to offer and give and hold strong on the specialization that we want to provide our client.
So we've been struggling with the ADAS thing with a lot of shops, right? They fall into two categories. There's the shop that won't do the alignment without ADAS. And then there's the shop that shouldn't do the alignment without ADAS.
Right. Perfect analogy.
You decide. What shop do you want to be? Do you want to be the shop that won't do it? Or do you want to be the shop that shouldn't do it? You get to decide.
Won't or shouldn't. I love it. That's a great way to think about it. Keith Perkins did this incredible class at Tools, and I just recently asked him if I could have some of his graphics, because I think the graphic to show the client what the 1 degree off on the radar sensor happens, you know, 1,000 feet down the road when you're playing with adaptive cruise, and all that stuff is supposed to work the right way, lane keep and everything. So I think we're kidding ourselves because we don't want to invest in the equipment, so we're never going to say it's important. Oh, you have the equipment, so you say it's important. What? Where's the do right rule in our industry? Where is it?
You better have a moral compass that puts you
right
where you belong.
Exactly, Bill. Ugh. What's the new equipment that you've recently purchased? What's adapting in the modern technology? Are you using AI? All of this stuff where people are on the sidelines looking for quick shortcuts or not wanting to invest because they don't have the profits in order to invest. You know, Bill, I'll bet you one of the first things you do in the first month of having a client, you too, Matt, is to say, I want to teach you what profit's all about, by the way. I want to teach you what that word profit means. It's not a dirty word. It's not a four-letter word. It's a five-letter word. But it's important because we can't buy equipment. We can't give raises. We can't do all this stuff if we don't have profit. So we have to have it. The degree of profitability allows us to be strong and grow.
Here's a quick profit story from Matt. So Matt wanted to buy some alignment equipment. So Matt found some alignment equipment. Matt was ready to buy alignment equipment. Like always, the equipment people had a program for how you could buy this alignment equipment and pay for it for the rest of your life. Not the rest of your life. Pay for it, you know, with a reasonable monthly payment for a period of time. Let's put it that way, right? So Matt's looking at this alignment equipment and he's talking about this program he can use with this equipment provider. Matt had another, you know, idea that maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I just go to the bank and I borrowed the money to do it. I said to Matt, Matt, there's enough money in the bank to buy the alignment equipment. Yeah, but Matt's a little bit cautious, right? Matt's like, well, I don't want to use all the money that's in the bank. That's kind of intentional to put that money in the bank, right? Yes, it is. I said, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the money out of the bank and we're going to buy the alignment equipment. And every month you're going to put that payment that you were going to make to the equipment people, you're going to put that back in the bank. You've self-financed the purchase of the alignment equipment. What did you do, Matt?
That's what I did.
It's exactly what he did.
Exactly it.
You know why he could do that? He could do that because he was profitable. How many businesses today can do that they could actually go to a bank account, take the money out, and make the investment in the piece of equipment they want? Why are we paying interest to banks and equipment finance, lease equipment? Why are we doing that when self-finance it? That's how you do those things. So, you know, what are successful businesses doing differently? To me, I think that's a great example. That's a great example of what a successful business does differently.
And we've used that same tactic. You know, that was a good learning, like a pinnacle moment for me to realize, like, wow, we are actually in a spot where I have the money to do this. And then, you know, you look back from a standpoint now as being a coach and having Bill set me up to be in a position to where we were able to just make that big purchase. And I've been in several other scenarios as a business owner where we've had big unexpected equipment failures, or we've had vehicle accidents or mishaps. And it's just like, you know what? This stinks, but guess what? We run a profitable, very well-ran business. We have the money here for these things when they happen. And it's not even a scary thing to think about it anymore. Sure, does it stink? Do we care? Yes. But you know what? That's the benefit of doing this and being profitable and charging the right rates.
Great profit story. Thank you so much. You know, we can also talk about marketing and culture, team development, all that cool stuff. But I want to ask you a question about taking on a new client, and even you, Matt. Bill, when you approached Matt in the beginning, was there anything to teach a client about an ownership mindset? Because in my mind, if you don't feel that you're an owner and you're just not the guy working on cars in the back, you'll never make it.
Yeah. So for us, we actually have a owner's job description that gives them specifically the tasks that the owner needs to perform for this business to be successful. Things that are not on that task list are things like change the oil in a customer's car, fix a flat tire for a customer's car, order parts for the tech. I mean, all that stuff's off the table. So we're very specific in making sure they understand where we're moving them to in terms of what they're responsible for, the tasks that they need to perform as the owner of a business.
The duties and the role. we call it owner mindset. Did that happen to you, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, I think that was one of the biggest obstacles for me to overcome was I had to figure out how to get out of my own way, as Bill put it nicely, and get out of the way of others. Because as a business owner, you feel in control of all these things, and I got to do this and I got to do that. And nobody's better than me at fixing these cars than I am. That's why I'm successful. And all these customers come here for me to fix their cars. And what we need to realize at the end of the day is if we're going to have a business and not a hobby, we've got to have people in place that we can train and we can trust to do these tasks. And I remember vividly when Bill gave me that job description and duties of an owner. And I looked at it and I said, oh, fixing cars isn't on there. And that was at a point in the business. We had so much growth and I needed to start doing different things because I had quite a few members on our team. I think I had 4 or 5 employees at that point, and I'm still out trying to wrench and fix cars and do marketing and do bookkeeping and accounting. And I mean, you can only do so many things great at a mediocre level. If you want to be great or excellent, you've got to narrow that task list down. And what Bill said is that you've got to get to a point where you're not doing the work, but you're enabling others to do the work. You need to be there to help put this team together. And that's what I view myself as now. And it was hard to get out of the shop. It really was. I mean, I'm losing a little bit of my identity in that process, I feel. But for me, I found so much enjoyment now in managing and running the business that to me is just as satisfying as problem solving on a car.
Matt, did you have that in you to want to lead and manage the business? Because there's some people that they're so afraid of that they just can't get out of their own way. And they continue to be in business and they continue to hurt the professionalism of our industry because they're taking shortcuts.
All right. Bill and I were talking about this morning. This is great because I think going into owning a business, we know that we're really good at what we do. We know that I'm really good at fixing cars. I can make a lot of money doing it. But what most people that own a shop and most shop owners are former technicians, a lot of us don't have extensive management background or business training and leadership. And when you start to take on team members, the game changes. Now, I have had a different career path than a lot of people. And I've been in management roles and leadership roles nearly my entire career, but I didn't realize how ill-equipped I was as a true leader and an owner until I opened a shop. And I think that this is one of the biggest challenges I see right now with many shop owners is we don't know how to properly lead. We don't know how to properly guide. We just don't know. And so we're doing the best we can. And most of us as technicians that were really successful, I mean, you think of a technician role, sure, there's some team focus to it, but we work really on a solo basis. You know, there's not somebody with us that we're responsible for. And so we get used to being really successful, but we're doing it more on our own terms and by ourselves. And when you become responsible for, I've got to make sure all of these people are successful, that's what makes me successful. The game changes and it becomes to where I thought I was a good leader, but I didn't realize how poor of a leader or how improved I needed to be until I started hiring employees.
Bill, did you discover that Matt had those capabilities early on in your relationship?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, from his previous experience and other things that he had done, he definitely had the bandwidth for that, but regardless, I think it's different when you're the one that's responsible for all the paychecks on payday.
All those mouths to feed. I don't think people think that through.
All those mouths to feed. And you think about that, right? Because if you're someone like Matt doesn't just think about the employee in terms of that technician or that service advisor. He's thinking about that technician that has 2 kids. Oh, and his kids are starting school this week, and they're having to deal with getting the kids ready for school. And then there's, you know, another employee that, you know, maybe doesn't have kids, but he's getting married in the fall, and he's going to start a whole journey, a whole different journey. That's how Matt approaches it. How do I make sure that we're taking care of everyone?
I love what you just said. Every time I listen to somebody, I get inspired by the mouths to feed. And some of our people don't quite realize the extended families who work for them. And I was thinking, I wrote the words family, food, and fun down for these particular reasons. Family is home, housing, right? Needs, necessity. Food is survival for everyone. And fun is to the enjoyment of life. And if you're making enough money and you're paying your people well enough, you can hire some superstars to come in and work for you because you've got the word P, the P word. You got profit. Then you can provide family, food, and fun, and that you're a magnet for great people.
We see that all the time in the work that we're doing with the hiring, right? We're spending so much time now, you know, with what you're aware of what Sarah's doing with the hiring stuff, and it's phenomenal, right? But the interviews I've been involved in, you know, when I get to talking to a technician or a service advisor about how much money will this new job pay you? And there's always this hesitancy, like, well, how much do they pay? I said, it really doesn't matter. What really matters is how much money. I said, here's the thing. Let's look at it this way. There's two people in this conversation right now, me and you. I need to know how much you need to make. Because if you don't make enough money to take care of yourself and your family and your whatever's necessary for you to function, I said, this job's off the table. I said, so my job is to find out what you need to make and then build a program that will show you how you can make that much money here. It's not about, oh, this is a $20 job or a $30 job or a $40 an hour job. It's not about that. It's about making sure people get what they need. How do we do that?
It's amazing the split we have in the successful people and the non-successful people in our industry. And every time I come in the studio, flip the microphone on, I'm hoping that I'm helping one more, two more, three more out of the hole that they've dug for themselves and that they could stop and realize, I can do this. I need to learn more. Yeah, listen to the show, implement something, call a coach, get in a networking group. There's so many ways to improve yourself. I never thought 10 years ago, Bill, I would be striving or driving to improve the people that maybe they don't want to be improved, or maybe they're having triple thoughts every night. I know I need to change. I know they can do this. I got to get out of my way. Then go find a quick answer and fall back into a rut or a routine. It isn't easy to be super successful. It takes a lot of hard work, and it takes a partner to drive you to do it.
And sometimes you need someone to hold you accountable.
Exactly right.
As humans, we're not good at holding ourselves accountable. That's a discipline that's very hard to develop, right? So when you have someone that's accountability partner, it's a huge part of coaching. Mm-hmm. That's, you could ask every coach I know, and they're gonna echo that. A big part of what I do is hold people accountable for them to be able to realize that they can achieve what they're set out to do here.
Look, we're going to do a part two of this episode. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about systems. So keep an eye out for the episodes that fall into your listening app. Listen for that. But in the meantime, Matt, I can't help but stop to think, you hired Bill, then you became a coach. Tell me about going from being coached to coaching clients, going from student to teacher. I find what you have to say probably extremely fascinating.
This has been a whole nother journey of life for me, is what I'll put it as. And it's been really cool. And that was one of the things is, you know, when Bill and I started talking about this coaching journey, it's, you know, I asked him, I said, do you think I'm ready to do this? And he goes, I know you're ready. And there's always that feeling that, hey, you know what? Do I have the abilities and the skill set to help somebody improve? And you're thinking about it and you're like, gosh, I hope I'm the right person to help these people out and to get them the success that Bill got me.
That makes you humble. That makes you humble.
You know, and I'm looking at it as I've got some big shoes to fill working under Bill because of what he's done for me. Now I got to make sure I can go do that for others. But when I went into, and I don't know if many people know, I spent 8 years of my career as a training instructor for a community college and then also for a manufacturer. The one thing I learned was that as somebody that's helping and training and guiding others, it makes you even better at what you do because you have so many different things you're going to learn from helping others that help you just view the world differently or have a different perspective or outlook on situations. And so, you know, when you, I told Bill, you know, like, I think I've got a lot of great experiences that I can help people work through and overcome. And I had a pretty unique path in how I got into business. And one of the things that you really get into when you start coaching people is you see that, hey, these are some of the same things that I had to deal with when I started out. These are the same problems. And you start hearing it amongst multiple people and you start talking to more and more shop owners. And the thing is we all have a lot of the same challenges in business. And, you know, you become very involved again and like, hey, you know what? I'm back to square one again with trying to help these guys out and getting them to believe in the things that I did or the advice Bill gave me, or, hey, why don't you look at it this way? And so I've been able to relive a lot of the first couple years in business for me and draw back on my experiences and some of the challenges I had and maybe some of the pushback I gave Bill. And I look at it from a whole nother perspective on, gosh, had I not done this, here's what the outcome would have been. And it's really fun to be able to share those stories with the clients that I'm working with.
When you teach, you learn. And you know, Bill, it took me a little while in my life, a long while in my life, to realize how important that was. But when I was out working for corporate America, and I had many different roles, traveled nationally, and when I would get out and had a chance to present, and it doesn't matter what it was, if it was marketing, sales, if it was finance, and you create your presentation, you're confident with it, you get up there. Did you ever have, I've had these all the time, did you ever have a moment? Just a, if you're watching me on YouTube, you'd see my mouth gaping open and my mind saying, I'm speaking, I'm teaching, but I had this huge learning moment. It became constitution. It came inside me. It was like Hardener on Body Filler. And that's got to be what's going on with you, Matt, because you're out teaching what you've learned. And all of a sudden it becomes one of those unbelievable moments. And I had them bunches of times, and it took me so long to realize when I was teaching, I was learning. That to me is, if you're involved in a networking group and you're sharing with each other, you're learning as you're sharing and talking and preaching.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's a great story. Look at guys, thank you so much for this. We're going to come back and do a part two, bringing both of you back. You've got such a great perspective on the industry, and we're going to talk about systems because I think systems win wars. And that's always been a favorite quote of mine. Systems win wars. Bill Haas, AIM, Auto Ignite Management.
Thank you, Carm.
Daughter Sarah, good friend of Tracy's. They're out doing teaching stuff together. Oh my God. It's just,
that's pretty cool.
They're on fire, those two. And Matt Wagg from Accelerated Diagnostics and Automotive in Bennington, Nebraska, and an AIM coach. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you so much, Carm.
Now, whatever you do, my listener, whatever you do, go out and do it well.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.